Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people unto whom this work shall come, that we, through the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, have seen the plates which contain this record, and we also know that they have been translated by the gift and power of God, for his voice hath declared it unto us, wherefore we know of a surety that the work is true. And we also testify that we have seen the engravings which are upon the plates, and they have been shown us by the power of God and not of man. And we declare with words of soberness that an angel of God came down from heaven, and he brought and laid before our eyes that we beheld and saw the plates and the engravings thereon. And we know that it is by the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ that we beheld and bear record that these things are true, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Wherefore, to be obedient unto the commandments of God, we bear testimony of these things. We have read a portion of the testimony of the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon, which is printed as a preface to every copy that has ever been published since 1830. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. It will surprise you, if you think a moment, to discover how much of what you know is dependent on the testimony of someone else. We rely on the record of witnesses to establish the facts of history which we have not experienced, the existence of persons and places we have never seen. We rely on witnesses to convict or acquit those charged with crimes or misdemeanors in a court of law. We depend on witnesses to establish the signatures on wills and other legal documents. When Jesus wanted to establish the fact of his resurrection, he committed that testimony to 12 faithful witnesses. To some it is given to know, and to others it is given to believe on the testimony of others. There are good reasons why the golden plates on which the Book of Mormon was inscribed could not be shown promiscuously to the public. They were of great intrinsic value. They were fascinating to idle curiosity seekers. Persistent attempts were made to destroy them. But most of all, those plates were sacred. God had a purpose to be achieved in their translation and publication to the world. They were written in a language which no man could read, so there could have been no purpose in submitting them to learned men for translation. God therefore provided that the existence of those plates should be witnessed by chosen witnesses, that men might believe in their testimony, just as they believe in the testimony of their fellow men for countless of the commonly acceptable facts of everyday life. While Joseph Smith was translating the Book of Mormon, he came to a passage which promised that certain men should be chosen to bear witness to the book. He inquired of the Lord and was given the names of three men, and later of eight others, who were to share this responsibility with him. The testimony of these two groups, the three witnesses and the eight witnesses, has been printed as a preface to every copy of the Book of Mormon that has ever been published. It is extremely difficult to explain away the testimony of 11 men of soberness, intelligence, and good reputation in the community when they state that they saw the plates, handled them leaf by leaf, hefted them, and examined the characters inscribed thereon. First, let us inquire as to whether the eight witnesses remained true to their testimony. The first, Christian Whitmer, died in 1835, still faithful to his testimony. The second, Jacob Whitmer, and the third, John Whitmer, separated from the church in 1838, but never denied their testimony. The last recorded statement from John Whitmer was written to Mr. Heman C. Smith, historian for the Reorganized Church, in December of 1876. In reply to a letter asking for information about his testimony of the Book of Mormon, Mr. Whitmer wrote, and we quote, "From what you have written, I conclude that you have read the Book of Mormon together with the testimonies that are thereto attached, in which testimonies you read my name subscribed as one of the eight witnesses to said book. That testimony was, is, and will be true, henceforth and forever. Respectfully yours, John Whitmer." The fourth of the eight witnesses, Peter Whitmer, Jr., died in 1836, in full fellowship with the church. The fifth, Hiram Page, became disaffected in 1839, but did not deny his testimony of the Book of Mormon. The sixth, Joseph Smith's father, Joseph Smith, Sr., died loyal to his son and to the church his son had established, spending his last days in that son's home. The seventh, Hiram Smith, Joseph's brother, was martyred with his brother. And the eighth, Samuel Smith, another brother, died a month later, all still faithful to their testimony concerning the Book of Mormon. Not a single one of the 8 witnesses ever denied or retracted his testimony of the Book of Mormon. The 3 witnesses to whom we turn now were Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris. Oliver Cowdery was the first to sign the document and was one of the 6 original members who organized the church on April 6, 1830. He was expelled from the church in 1838 by a rather high-handed court procedure, which in all probability would have been reversed had he taken the trouble to appeal to proper authority. 10 years after that, however, in 1848 at Council Bluffs, Iowa, he made the following public statement, and we quote, "I wrote with my own pen the entire Book of Mormon, save a few pages, as it fell from the lips of the prophet Joseph Smith as he translated it by the gift and power of God. I beheld with my eyes and handled with my hands the gold plates from which it was translated. That book is true." End of quotation. Oliver Cowdery ended his days in the home of David Whitmer, his longtime friend and brother-in-law. David Whitmer testifies that he was present at the death of Oliver Cowdery, and that his last words to him were, "Brother David, be true to your testimony of the Book of Mormon." Because of his confidence in David Whitmer's integrity, Oliver Cowdery turned over to him the manuscript of the Book of Mormon, which he had written at the dictation of Joseph Smith. David Whitmer later gave it into the custody of the reorganized church, where it remains to this day the only complete manuscript copy of the Book of Mormon in existence. The third man to sign the testimony of the 3 witnesses, and the second for our consideration, is Martin Harris. Martin Harris was the owner of a well-improved and prosperous farm, which he mortgaged for $5,000 to pay for the printing of the first edition of the Book of Mormon, and that was a considerable sum in the year 1829. Mr. Harris wrote to Mr. H.B. Emerson on November 23, 1870, in response to a query by Mr. Emerson, and said, I quote, "I do say the angel did show me the plates containing the Book of Mormon." End of quotation. The following January, Mr. Emerson wrote again, asking Mr. Harris whether he had ever lectured against the church in England. And Mr. Harris replied, and we quote again, "I answer emphatically, no, I did not. No man ever heard me in any way deny the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon." End of quotation. On September 15, 1853, Mr. David B. Dilley paid a call on Mr. Harris at Kirtland, Ohio. Mr. Harris stated during this interview that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that the Book of Mormon is true, that the plates had been translated by the gift and power of God, and that at one time he held the plates on his knee for an hour and a half while in conversation with Joseph Smith, and that he had handled them plate after plate. He described the appearance and dimensions of the plates. He denied an oft-repeated rumor that he had lost $3,000 by financing the first edition of the Book of Mormon, stating that all he had advanced had been repaid. After his retirement from farming, Mr. Harris went to live with relatives in Clarkston, Utah, where he died on July 10, 1875. 4 days before his death, he was interviewed by a Mr. Simon Smith, a minister, who had known him as a friend and close neighbor for about 2 years previously. Mr. Smith takes some pains to deny the rumor that a body of ministers had visited Mr. Harris on his deathbed, and that to them he denied his testimony. Mr. Smith says, on the contrary, that he was the only minister in that town, and that Mr. Harris's dying statement was that his testimony in connection with the Book of Mormon was true. The second man to sign the testimony of the 3 witnesses was David Whitmer, who was the last survivor of the 3. From 1838 until his death in 1888, over 50 years, David Whitmer was a highly respected citizen of Richmond, Missouri. He was the first mayor of Richmond, its first city attorney. He served as Ray County School Commissioner, as Circuit Attorney of the 5th Judicial District, as Judge of the Ray County Court of Common Pleas. David Whitmer, like Oliver Cowdery, had been somewhat high-handedly dealt with by a church court in 1838, and expelled from the church. Yet he never wavered from his testimony to the Book of Mormon, and was ever ready to repeat that testimony to any who asked him concerning it. In the later years of his life, after he had been repeatedly misquoted and misrepresented by careless reporters and sensation seekers, he was careful always to have competent witnesses present when he was being interviewed. We therefore have record of many of his later testimonies of the Book of Mormon. We shall mention 3 or 4 very briefly. On February 8, 1875, he was interviewed by E.C. Brand, an elder in the reorganized church, to whom he said that he would rather suffer death than deny his testimony. And we quote his words now. "I did see the angel of God," he said, "and was commanded to testify concerning these things." End of quotation. In March of that same year, 1875, he wrote to Mark H. Foscott as follows, and we quote, "My testimony to the world is written concerning the Book of Mormon, and is the same I gave at first, and it is the same as shall stand to the latest hour of my life, linger with me in death, and shine as gospel truth beyond the limits of life among the tribunals of heaven." End of quotation. September 7, 1878, David Whitmer was interviewed by a number of visitors. After a vivid description of the experience in which he was shown the Book of Mormon plates, he concluded with these words, and we quote, "Our testimony as recorded in the Book of Mormon is strictly and absolutely true, just as it is here written." End of quotation. April 25, 1884, 4 years before his death, he was interviewed by E.C. Briggs and Rudolph Etzenhauser, to whom he again described the experience and said in conclusion, "My testimony in the Book of Mormon is true. I can't deviate from it." On March 19, 1881, David Whitmer published a pamphlet setting forth his views on church government and organization, which he called An Address to All Believers in Christ. In this pamphlet, he included this statement, and we quote, "It is recorded in the American Encyclopedia and the Encyclopedia Britannica that I, David Whitmer, have denied my testimony as one of the three witnesses to the divinity of the Book of Mormon. I will say once more to all mankind that I have never at any time denied that testimony or any part thereof." End of quotation. Also included in the above pamphlet was a proclamation from David Whitmer, accompanied by a statement signed by 22 citizens of Richmond attesting to Mr. Whitmer's integrity, undoubted truth, and veracity. This proclamation was also widely distributed by Mr. Whitmer as a leaflet and was printed in the Richmond Conservator for March 24, 1881, and copied from that paper by the Chicago Times. This proclamation reads in part, and we quote, "It having been represented by one John Murphy of Polo, Caldwell County, Missouri, that I, in conversation with him last summer, denied my testimony as one of the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon. To the end, therefore, that he may understand me now, if he did not then, and that the world may know the truth, I wish now, standing as it were in the very sunset of life and in the fear of God, once for all to make this public statement, that I have never at any time denied that testimony or any part thereof, which has so long since been published with that book, as one of the three witnesses. Those who know me best well know that I have always adhered to that testimony, and that no man may be misled or doubt my present views in regard to the same, I do again affirm the truth of all my statements as then made and published." End of quotation. January 22, 1888, David Whitmer lay on his deathbed at Richmond. He summoned his physician and was assured that he was then in his right mind. Mr. Whitmer then addressed those at his bedside as follows, and we quote his words, "Now you must all be faithful in Christ. I want to say to you all, the Bible and the record of the Nephites, that is the Book of Mormon, is true. So you can say that you have heard me bear my testimony on my deathbed. All be faithful in Christ, and your reward will be according to your works. God bless you all. My trust is in Christ forever, world without end. Amen." End of quotation. 3 days later, on January 25th, David Whitmer died and was buried in the Newt Cemetery on the western borders of Richmond. By his direction, a simple monument was erected over his grave, a straight shaft some 5 feet high, surmounted by two books chiseled in stone, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. On the shaft, by David Whitmer's direction, there were cut these words, and we quote, "The record of the Jews and the record of the Nephites are one. Truth is eternal." End of quotation. Thus, in death as in life, David Whitmer bears witness to the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. We have shown that the testimony of these 11 witnesses of known probity and veracity was firm to the end of their days, that they had seen and hefted the plates, and that they knew the Book of Mormon to be true. No man has a right to impugn or deny their testimony, given in soberness and solemnity, and maintained until death. For in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall all things be established. Let us join in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast seen fit to bring to us the testimony of the truthfulness of Thy work in these days, through the mouth and through the witness of these good and truthful and sober-minded men. We thank Thee that in spite of the tribulations by the way and the disaffection which came to some of them, that they still remain true to this testimony which was given to them of Thee. Looking within our own lives, we would pray that we may be faithful to that which we know, and that in all things we might follow Thee to the end of our days, and be worthy to be rewarded with the plaudit, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Grant unto those who know not of these truths that Thy Spirit shall bear witness to them as we tell them, and that they may be led to Thee as we have been led to Thee. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.